we're coming into a period that we've never experienced in our lives before. You think it's over with COVID? It's not. It's just started.
Welcome to the Greg Allen Podcast. Thanks for joining us, where we talk about life. I truly believe that everyone has a story to tell and a lesson to teach, and that's what this show is all about. So if you're enjoying the show, please head over and leave us a review. It helps us connect, inspire, and help more people like you. And I just want to do a big shout out to you for taking the time to grow and improve. So good on you. Keep doing what you're doing, and good luck in life. Hey everyone, here with Marnie Homer. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm really excited to be having a chat to you.
It's really exciting to be here. Thank you for the opportunity.
So tell me a little bit about what you're excited about at the moment.
Gosh, what's there not to be excited about? I mean, like, what an experience we're having in 2020, right? It's like,
yeah, totally.
Like, who would have thought that when we all did our New Year's resolutions at the end of last year that this would happen? Seriously.
I think someone predicted it. 2020, it's going to be the year that everything crashes and everyone gets sick.
Yeah.
There's always someone predicting something.
Yeah, I was actually lucky enough to hear Robert Kiyosaki speak in 2016, and he pretty much predicted this. He was about a year out in his prediction, but he pretty much told us that, you know, get ready because it's coming. So,
who else did that? Bill Gates. Bill Gates was also talking about viral warfare and what viral other things.
Yeah, but who would have, like, seriously, who would have thunk it, right?
Yeah, totally. Wasn't expecting it. And what a you know, crazy feeling. And like, I'm one that I never watch the news, but for the news to draw me in, like my wife first, she's like, you got to watch the news. And I was like, I'm not going to watch the news. And it's like, it's getting serious. You got to watch the news. And I started watching the news and I was like, wow, what is happening?
Yeah, it's pretty scary. I only watched a tiny little bit of it. And then I thought, you know what? No, it does not serve me. I'm not listening to this. I live by the policy, if it's not in my postcode or in my environment, then it's, you know, no.
Yeah, cool. So keep it localized.
Absolutely, because there's so many people that just, you know, feel depression and anxiety from watching that kind of stuff. So why would you fill your head with it?
Yeah, fear of the unknown is a pretty powerful driver of that pain and stress and all that. So
yeah.
So what exactly are you excited about? What makes it exciting for you at the moment?
Well, I mean, it's an adventure, isn't it? I mean, like, none of us expected to be in this situation, and a lot of people's situations have changed dramatically. I mean, even mine has, do you know? But I look at everything in life as an opportunity. It's an opportunity to grow. It's an opportunity to certainly do things differently. Get different experiences. I just don't have time. I don't have time in my life to go the way was me anymore. I don't.
Yeah. No, it sounds like you're the sort of person that looked at this as an opportunity to grow and improve and change and shift. And, you know, that's really good.
Well, I actually wrote a book in 24 hours when all of this started, actually.
Wow. Tell me about it. What's the book called?
So it's called Lockdown Took My Income. Okay, so it's a book about for people who have lost their jobs and stuff like
this.
How
big is it? Turn it this way.
This way?
Nah, turn it that way.
That way?
Like you're going to eat a hamburger.
Oh, it's a hamburger, is that?
See how thick it is. How thick is it?
Oh.
How fast do you write? Wow, that's awesome. Look at that. How many pages is that?
Yeah. So, look. It just inspired me, like, with everything that was going on, with people losing their jobs, their incomes. And I've got this experience. I've been in business myself for 23 years, so I've got this experience where I know how to create income streams from pretty much scratch. And so I actually just I've got the most amazing supportive family. I really have. I've got my husband and two children, and they just gave me the space I needed over an entire weekend just to, like, you know, write this book. And, so we've also had a bit of a win with it, actually. We hit number one bestseller in Australia, USA and the UK, so we're doing all right.
Awesome. Well done, Marnie.
Yeah.
That's so good. Cool. And in 24 hours. So how fast
over a weekend,
do you type?
So, well, pretty fast, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think once you have something that just flows, and you, I mean, I know this stuff's like so inside and out. It's not funny. It's because I've done it. I've actually done it 11 times.
Yeah.
So I know what I'm doing, and I think when you have something that you know so eloquently well, you know it so well, and you know that you have a mission to do what you can to try and help as many as you can. It just comes out, you know. Yeah. It just flowed.
Cool. Yeah, I did something similar. So my expertise is in building communities and coursework online, and so I've got online communities and coursework. So I built out a business coronavirus business support network and course to support people in need. And similar to you, I did it not that quickly, but I did it over a week. I really put it all together. Mine was free. Like, I just wanted to help out in the period. But I was, you know, I think when your mind is like ready to adapt at any moment and take the most of the opportunity. So if it's a challenge, how do I get out? If there's a wall thrown in front of you, the question is not there's a wall I can't move anymore. It's how do I get over this wall or around this wall?
Or through it. I like going through walls. Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. I mean, this is not a time, in my opinion, this is not a time for people to do the whole woe is me thing. It's not a time for them to sort of like go, oh, poor me. I'll just sit on the couch and watch the latest of Netflix. Do you know what I mean? This is the time to like really look at what you're doing and just say, do you know what? Like, I didn't expect this curveball to come, but this is how I'm going to tackle it, and this is how I'm going to like push forward. This is the time to really, you know, put into yourself and to really grow and to really get out there and just and go for it. What else are we doing? Homeschooling our kids?
Yeah, awesome. Now, I love your mindset around adaptation and quickly evolving into the situation. Can we talk a little bit about that? How did you develop a mindset which was nimble, ability to shift, change, you know, to be able to do that? So with a trigger.
Well, I've been on a bit of a journey. I think, I mean, everyone's been on a journey in their life, right? And I believe that everything that happens to us in our life is leading us to a certain point where we go, oh, that's why I went through all that stuff. Do you know what I mean? But see, I grew up in a low socioeconomic area. We lived in Housing Commission. You know, my mum was basically responsible for bringing us up. My father worked nights, but she suffered depression. She suffered anxiety herself. And so there was a lot of abuse of all kinds, like verbal, you know, physical, mental. And so I actually left home at 18 with absolutely no social skills and no confidence whatsoever because, you know, how do your parents teach you those skills that they don't have them themselves? Do you know? It's like, it's a big thing. And so I stumbled for years and years and years with low self-esteem, low self-worth, low self-belief, and let's say no self-belief.
Yeah.
Yet I still had this entrepreneurial spirit to be able to create businesses from absolutely nothing. Because I didn't believe in myself, though, I would do really dumb things like I'd self-sabotage, I'd procrastinate, I'd not take the action I needed to take to put myself out there. So even though I was successful, a lot of them could have gone a lot further than they did because I wasn't in that space. And then in 2014, I ran out of excuses as to why I couldn't go to a Tony Robbins event. I'd come up with all the excuses in the world, but my excuses had run out. And I had a goal. I had a plan, and the goal was a hug and a photo. No idea how I was going to make that happen at all. Like, seriously, like, that's Tony Robbins. How am I, someone like me who, you know, doesn't think very highly of themselves, how am I going to make that happen? And anyway, long story short, I managed to pull it off. I actually managed to make it happen. And I think that planted a little seed in my mind that sort of said, well, you know what, if you can do something like that, what else can you do?
You can do it. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And that was the very first thing I think that sort of like planted that little seed. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, obviously you surround yourself with those kind of people who are in that environment, and it's natural that you sort of like start growing in your mind and your mindset. Yeah. And I had a phobia around trying new foods, and that was taken out by NLP. And it was like I started getting curious, you know, even though I didn't rush into doing anything because you don't sort of reach out, you still got that little bit of shame around reaching out for help. But in 2017, yes, I did an NLP course, and I've got to say it changed my world. it absolutely changed my world. You know, I learned that I could be confident. I learned that I could have self-belief. And once I worked out what it was like I was like a dog with a bone. Yeah. You know, I couldn't get enough of it. I couldn't get enough. And so here I am 3 years later, like my confidence, my certainty, my happiness, my joy is just, it's contagious, really.
Awesome.
That's how I got here. So, like, it didn't happen overnight. It took a lot of work. I had to do a lot of work on myself.
Yep.
And my experiences were up and down. I've had heartbreak. I've had failure. I've had the works in between all that. But I'm so glad that I did it because look at me now.
Yeah, good on you, Marnie. That's awesome. Yeah. So just for people watching, not watching, there's a picture of Tony Robbins and Marnie up on the wall. And there's also the thing you said, NLP is neuro-linguistic programming, for anyone who wants to Google that and what that means. But could you tell us a little bit about that? What is that? Like how can people understand that a little bit better?
Okay, so NLP or neuro-linguistic programming, which is quite a mouthful, that's why we call it NLP. It's basically language of the mind. So it's actually working with the unconscious mind. Find out what patterns of behavior have been downloaded into that unconscious. What a lot of people do not realize is that the unconscious mind actually controls 90% of our behaviors. So it controls our behaviors, it controls our thoughts, it controls our actions. And so, say for example, when you were usually under the age of 7, if you've downloaded some kind of thoughts from an authority figure like a parent or a teacher, or you've just heard it that you're not good enough, for example, then what the unconscious mind does with that is it takes it on board as the truth pretty much. And as it's your unconscious mind's number one job to protect you, and it thinks it's protecting you by playing that pattern, it's going to play that pattern over and over again in your life. And so what actually happens is you give meanings to things that happen. Your first boyfriend leaves you when you're 15, is like, oh, he's left me because I'm not good enough. You don't get that job and you're 16, oh, I didn't get it because I wasn't good enough. And what happens is your mind just stacks and stacks and stacks all of these times when you're basically proving to yourself that you're not good enough. And so what NLP actually does, it basically helps you to go and rewire those patterns. We work with you one-on-one where we go back into your unconscious mind to the first time you downloaded that pattern. And it's like changing a computer program. Like you put a computer, let's say you put a virus on your computer, okay? You've then got to go to an expert and have that virus removed so that you can put the good program on the computer.
Yeah.
And NLP is pretty much similar to that. We basically go and we remove the bad and we replace it with the good so that the thoughts of I'm not good enough don't even appear. I mean, I don't even get that anymore. It doesn't happen for me.
Awesome. So yeah. I think NLP happens automatically all the time. Like it's, you know, and it's you taking control of that. You know, it's instead of it letting it happen to you without you knowing about it, it's you knowing that it's happening to you and being able to change that. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yeah, being aware is always the very first step to being able to change anything. And you're right, because NLP can even just be like in the situation where it's just a simple reframe. It's for example, you can think, you know, that I am fat. Let's go with that. I am fat, all right? And then somebody might say to you, oh, my gosh, you're looking so, you know, you've got such an amazing shape. And then all of a sudden in your mind, it might go, well, hang on. Maybe I'm not this way. Maybe I'm that way. And it might take 10 people to tell you that. And it may never happen because your mind might still be stronger than their comments, but sometimes it can shift in a reframe. So you're right. You know, NLP is happening all the time. It's just being aware of your thoughts and the patterns that you play and doing what you need to do to get the work done.
Cool. So what's an example of you before you went and got NLP and then after? And how long does that process take?
Well, it really depends on basically what it is that's downloaded in your mind. I had a lot downloaded in my mind because of my upbringing, and even further back than that, because we're connected to our mothers when we're in the womb. For example, her thoughts were transferred into my unconscious from the womb because what, you know, she feels, I feel inside. So there's work to be done all the way back. I mean, there's even cases where there's past life stuff, whether you choose to believe that or whether it's just the unconscious mind that presents it that way. Who knows? It's how you want to believe. But there's stuff that can even come down from generations, from your grandmother, because what your grandmother felt, she passed on to the mother. What the mother felt, she passed on to you, kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? So it can be just passed down. So an example, like I can give you a great business example if you'd like, of a business that I created from scratch. It was a modern cloth nappy business. So for, you know, babies, obviously, and the old cloth nappies, but these ones came with Velcro and stuff, so they were easy to use and they had like a plastic cover on them, and so they were becoming really, really popular. Sorry?
You need a pin. Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, who wasn't scared of, like, you know, you know, hurting the child when you, wouldn't go there. So, so, they were becoming quite popular. I was living in New Zealand at the time. And so I decided to create my own brand of modern cloth nappies. I called it My Baby because I was pregnant with my son at the time. And my goal was just to be able to pay for my own baby products, really. It exploded, like a lot of the things I do explode, and I end up having a business for 5 years that would take me an hour a day and was bringing in profit 2 full-time wages.
Cool.
So it's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
So I was able to run this business for an hour a day whilst looking after my 2 children I have now, who were both using the nappies, and it was going really, really well until one day, would you believe, I dropped my children off at their daycare. And this lady came up to me and she's like, "Oh my gosh, are you Marnie Homer?" And I'm like, yeah. You know, and she's like, "Oh my gosh, you're so amazing. Your nappies are amazing. I put 4 children through your nappies and oh, they've lasted the whole time. And I've told my friends, and oh my gosh, thank you so much for creating this incredible brand." It's like, oh, it's so amazing, good. You know, and it's like, now obviously she was very excited.
Yeah.
And like she'd met some kind of celebrity or something like that. It's like, you know. And naturally, I think most people would take a step back. Then most people would sort of like go, oh, okay, that's pretty cool, you know. Not this chick. This chick. I freaked out. I absolutely freaked out. And it's like, oh, my God, somebody's going to find out that I'm a fake and I'm a fraud because I just fluked this, right? It's like it's not anything that I've done that's magical or anything that I've created. I fluked this. And literally there was a half an hour drive back from the daycare to where I was living. And in that half an hour, my mind was just racing at a mile a minute about how I had to do something. I had to get rid of this. I had to, like, end this because, you know, if anyone ever found out that I was a fake or a fraud and that, you know, I just happened to just fluke this. And so from the daycare experience to home, I walked into the door and said to my husband, "That's it. I've had enough of hormonal women. I'm selling the business. It's over. I'm done. I've had enough. It's got to go." And I had an ad written in half an hour. I had it up on the site and, yeah, it sold in 24 hours.
What?
Business.
Was that self-sabotage there? You sort of just wanted to self-destruct the business?
Absolutely self-destructed because somebody gave me a compliment. Would you believe?
Yeah.
And I can tell you, I mean, like, I sold it way too cheap, clearly. Because it was about, I was in damage control, if that makes sense. I was actually in damage control. And it all came down to the fact that I didn't believe in myself at all. And it's just, you know, I couldn't possibly have anyone else believing in me because I didn't believe in myself, do you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's a classic example of, I really screwed up.
I think a lot of people run that. They actually, you know, they feel... if someone knows who the person that made it is, then that could get back to them personally, and then that's where they start to, you know, get nervous about those situations like you did. Hey, quick question. Were you getting enough sleep having a newborn baby at the time?
Well, see, it wasn't actually the only business I had at that time as well. I also had an online tool store, and I had to hire an au pair. I did. It was just a little too much to do on my own. We were actually living on a dairy farm at the time because my husband just decided he wanted to be a dairy farmer, of all things.
Oh, yeah.
And so he was gone from like 6 in the morning until probably 8 o'clock at night. And I was actually dealing with a severe back injury at the time too, and I struggled to walk most days. So, yeah, I had to give him an au pair. It got a bit tough.
Yeah, totally. No, makes sense to do that. If it means that you can work more on the businesses and, you know, it gives you that time to be able to dig in there. Sometimes also when you're looking at from a business standpoint, you know, if it's an investment on your mental health as well, if you're able to not have the pressure of a full-time mother and full-time, you know, parent, and then to do two businesses or however many businesses you had at the time, it puts a lot of pressure on you. And a lot of people try and take that. And like you were saying earlier in this call, like a lot of people don't want to reach out for help. And they think it's failure if you do. And I just don't know if that's true. I don't believe in that. I feel more people need to be opening up and asking for help more often.
Absolutely. And obviously I completely agree with you on that. However, I've been there and I know what it's like to be in that spot where you think that because you're not confident and because you don't believe in yourself that, you know, you're so worried. You're so worried about what other people are going to think and what they're going to do because you already feel like that nobody likes you. All right, you already feel in that situation where you're, well, I mean, I was the outcast when I was at school. I didn't fit in. And that transfers through. Mm. So you already feel like that, you know, if you did actually put your hand up and ask for help, that you'll be ridiculed.
Mm.
And so you just tend to just, you know, stay in your own little square and just sort of like, you know, I'll just be fine. I'll just cope on my own. But honestly, like the best thing I have ever, ever done for me, and not only me, my family, is get the help I needed so that I could break the mold that was passed down from my family. Do you know? And that's the reframe that I actually use to be able to get the help. Is it's not about me. It's about breaking that mold that will stay in place if I choose to do nothing.
Did you feel a little bit scared the first time you went to get help, like you were failing because you're getting help for the first time? Do you think that's a...
Well, I guess for me, I was lucky enough that I was on the whole NLP and Tony Robbins journey. Yeah. Yeah. And I think probably unconsciously I did feel scared because it's actually quite funny. I actually signed up to do the NLP course. No idea quite how I got signed up to it, but I just got sucked in because the people that run those things are quite good at that. Okay.
They use NLP on you.
They do. Absolutely, they do. And I actually quit on the guy. It's like I didn't have a high opinion of the man that was running the course at the time. I didn't think highly of him. And I actually quit. I can remember the phone call. It was like we had four phone calls. It'd take me four phone calls to quit. And I can remember and I end up just saying, stop NLPing me. I'm quitting, do you know?
Yeah.
I quit. And so I think that was probably out of fear. That was just my unconscious doing what it could to protect me and to keep me the same because it believed that that's what needed to happen. It thought it was already protecting me, so it didn't need to go anywhere else.
Yep.
And it was only because a really good friend of mine, like, just got on the phone one day and would not let me off the phone until I rebooked. Would not let me off the phone. Just like, Marnie, pick up the phone. Marnie, pick up the phone. Pick up the phone. And I finally says, fine, I'll pick up the damn phone. And I did. But I can tell you, I walked into that course and I was not playing.
Yeah.
I was not going to play. I was... Yeah, yeah, walls were up 100%. I thought the guy running the course was a complete douchebag and was not playing. He got me though. He got me. So
got you in the end. So
yeah, he did.
And what was the result of him, you know, working through those barriers for you? Because that's a natural response as well, isn't it? So to put up those those barriers to protect yourself, and even to not answer the phone is a way to separate you from the solution as well. How did you feel allowing yourself to finally let that information in that's helpful? And do you wish you did it sooner?
Oh, gosh, I wish I'd done it when I was 20. You know, honestly, I wish I'd done it, like, you know, I want to say to anybody out there, like, you know, go and get the help, because I waited until I was 43 to go and get the help I needed. And, oh, my gosh, like, I reckon if I'd done this when I was 20, I'd be a billionaire over and over by now easily.
Yeah.
And as for your question, well, I mean, I guess it's just kind of what happens when you go along to one of these trainings. It kind of does just get in there, even if you don't really want it to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it kind of does get in there. You put yourself in that environment where everybody's sort of like working on it. And I think naturally in these courses as well, they also do they do use NLP to start shifting the things in your mind, even if you might be a little bit, you know, apprehensive.
Yeah.
And it was only just, I think, well, I did my first course. I remember it was in July, and I signed up for the Master Prac, which was the next level.
Yep.
But I didn't do that till November. And it wasn't until I came out of that one in November that I got it, and I knew that this stuff was awesome. I knew it was okay after the first one, but it wasn't until the November, and I worked out that it really works. And it was then that I started noticing, you know, patterns in my behavior that I didn't have the emotion to anymore.
Mm.
So obviously once I discovered there was a few things, a few examples that I had where I noticed that even though I was still playing the pattern, the emotion wasn't behind it. And so I realized then that, oh, well, maybe there is something to this, you know? And so then I went and got, you know, I did some more, and then I went and did a hypnotherapy course, and then, yeah, from there. So I guess in a way I wasn't really one to reach out for the help, you know. I guess I was one of the lucky ones.
Yeah. So there's, I'd really love to discuss your point of view on, you know, how do we get people to understand that they don't have to do it on their own, and they don't have to asking for help isn't a problem. It's the solution. So a lot of people, like I deal with it in my academies that I've got, online communities, like a lot of people, they will not sign up because if they sign up, they feel like they've failed or they're not doing good enough. And to them, they become the failure because they're asking for help. Whereas if they just embraced the solution, then they would, their life would improve drastically. Now, I see this across the board outside of your workplace, even personally, and going to see a psychologist, I know, you know, the baby boomers sort of mentality around, oh, you got to go to the psych, or you got to, you know, you're crazy. You got to, you know, there's a lot of negativity, like that was a bad thing, and that's been passed on generation to generation. And now a lot of people feel like if I have to go see a psychologist, that means that I'm officially crazy, you know.
Yeah.
But I really feel for myself, and you know, I've always asked for help. I've always been a student of everyone, and I've always tried to figure out, like, how can I do better and what can I learn from you? So when I saw an opportunity for me to go and see a psychologist or a therapist, I did, and it was so good. And I see it as an investment in your mind, and if we can invest more in our minds, then we're going to be sick less as well.
Yeah. But
I'd love to get your feedback, because I was speaking to Carlos yesterday. He's actually been to prison several times. And he had to get, I asked him the same question. He had to get incarcerated several times, and then a very long incarceration, which was pulled in, was going to be 6 years, and he got pulled back to 6 months. But during that time, he had a therapist, which he didn't in the other ones. He wasn't in long enough. And through that process, he realized the traumatic experiences from the past was causing him to act out the way he was, which was getting him in trouble. But I said, if you or someone like you was to go to your younger self, would you accept that as an option to go and get some help? And he was like, yeah, people came to me, are like, you got a drinking problem. You got to go see someone. You got this, and you got to go see someone. I just wasn't sure if that was the right way to speak to him about it because it's, you know, but what is your opinion on this? Like how can people feel more confident and comfortable going and seeking out help?
Okay. So I wanted to address the what you said about how you were always ready to go out and get that help because you believed it was an investment. I can remember when I was just 13, my parents sent me to, I think it was a psychologist, in the hope that it would help me. I mean, yeah, I'd done some things that weren't regular behavior. And I can remember actually, like, I went to the sessions, but I remember sitting there and not saying a word for that exact reason, because I wasn't crazy. I wasn't, you know, I didn't have a problem. So it didn't work, obviously, because I didn't, you know, participate.
Yeah.
And kudos to my parents for actually doing what they felt and what they thought they needed to do to try and help me as much as they could. They didn't know what they were doing. So it was like, it was just a stab in the dark and it didn't work. So yeah, I resonate with what you said there with people who think that if they go to the psychologist or the psychiatrist, they're actually crazy. I think there's a lot of stigma still around that whole process, as you said, about going out and getting the help and being that person that reaches out and says, you know what, I can't do this on my own, because people do feel very, very sort of like silly and very less than if they do actually reach out and ask for that help.
Mm.
But I think in today's age, I think it's becoming, you know, more widely accepted that, you know, things happened differently in previous generations, that people didn't know what needed to happen. And so I think now more there is a slightly bigger shift towards people asking for help. Doesn't mean they're going to do it though.
Yeah.
All right. So I just think that it's just going to be an education thing. I really do. I just think it's going to have to continue to be an education thing. The more of us that are here saying, look, you don't have to do this on your own, there's no shame in asking for help. It's just, and the more people that are here to encourage people, as you said yesterday, your guy had to be incarcerated, you know, they have to be ready. They have to be, that things have to get tough enough, Greg. Things have to get tough enough for them to say, I'm drowning, I can't do this, do you know? Yeah. And I think that's what it comes down to. You've got to go deep enough into that dark place, I think, before many people will actually put their hand up. And they're still going to have all that emotion. They're still going to feel like, you know, that they're less than. They're going to feel that they're, you know, people are going to laugh at them. They're going to treat them badly. But it's just, I think it's just an education thing. What I push forward is that it's only just one tiny move. That's all you have to take. You just have to take just the tiniest little step forward. You don't have to like jump in the leaps and just one little step. Just do one thing differently, and then if you don't die, do another thing.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's the way to encourage it going forward. I mean, people have to be ready. People have to go to that place, that dark place, enough times before they, I guess, in a way, some people say they snap, or they just reach that point where they just think, you know, something's going to change.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Cool.
And people only know what they know. This is the thing. They only know what they know. When you were talking about people saying to your guest yesterday about the drinking problem, what used to get me is people used to say to me, oh, you know, you've got to love yourself before others can love you. But nobody taught me how to love myself.
Mm.
Nobody showed, I wasn't taught that by my parents. My parents didn't teach me that because they didn't know how to love themselves. So it was all well and good for people to say, you know, well, until you love yourself, other people won't love you. But it's like, well, tell me how to do it, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And no one did. So you just tend to go along thinking, well, deep down I know I don't love myself, but that's okay because I'm just going to stay in my box and I'm not going to tell anybody that I don't love myself and I'll just pretend. And
yeah.
So you've got to go to that dark place, I think.
Yep.
And unfortunately, that's just the way it is.
Yeah. I'd love to explore like a couple of things that you said there around your childhood. And I'm very conscious of this. I've got a 3 and a 6-year-old at the moment, and we want to, my wife really helped me understand emotions. I wasn't taught how to regulate emotion very well. Like for me, I always appeared perfect on the outside. So I was always, yep, I'm good. I'm happy. I'm sweet. You know, like I was always that, but I pushed a lot of pain down in doing so.
Yes.
When my wife start to help me to understand like the emotions that I was feeling, it was the first time I ever learnt about it. And so we want to teach our kids that. So I think it's a good opportunity to have a discussion around how do we talk to our kids for them to feel comfortable? Because like for you to be 13 and go and see a psychologist and feel like that your parents were saying to you that you're crazy by just through that action, maybe if the parents also saw a psychologist and talked about how helpful and beneficial it is for them, you know, and put it in a positive way, that could have been taken better by you, and so you would actually listen at that time. How do you feel about that statement?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I mean, it's all what I downloaded when I was younger. I mean, I personally were told some things when I was just 3 or 4 that told me that I was not wanted. I was a mistake. I won't go into details. They were pretty horrific, the things my mother told me that she had done to try and get rid of me while I was in her womb. And so I downloaded the fact that I wasn't wanted, and I wasn't, and if I'm not wanted, I'm not loved. And so therefore nobody's ever going to want me, that kind of talk. And so for me, as you said, going to the psychologist was like, okay, well, if people find out I'm doing this, they're really not going to want me.
Yep.
Do you know? And so that's what I downloaded. And as much as parents are doing their absolute best, they're doing the best they can with what they have and what they know. That's the number one thing they need to realize, is that they are doing the best they can with what they currently know. And but depending on what they download, what they allow their children to download at a young age, it depends on where they're going to go in life, pretty much. So, I mean, if I've been lucky enough to get this help when my children were pretty young. So my children, I've got a 9-year-old girl and a 10-year-old girl, an 11-year-old boy, and they are two of the most confident, happy kids that you could ask for, because they've watched me go through my journey. They've watched me learn, and, you know, obviously the children copy what the parents do. So they've actually come out so that they are confident, they are certain, and they don't have any of the negativity that I was brought up in. And I think that as far as like the parents, yeah, they like you, for example, like so you are already looking at the fact that how do I make sure that my children grow up so that they're confident and they're certain. It's all in what you say and do. It really comes down to that. If you continually encourage them, if you continually, like, you know, instill confidence, you know, tell them that they're amazing, tell them that they're awesome. I mean, do not get me wrong. If they suck, don't tell them they're awesome. Do you know what I mean? There's that balance. There is that fine balance there, do you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we can't be all good at everything, right?
Yeah, keep
so
trying.
So there is that balance.
Keep trying.
But, yeah. Yeah, but if you're constantly like, you know, like building them up, like, you know, you're beautiful, you're amazing, you're incredible, that's what they're going to download. That is what they're going to download. Okay, remember, whatever you say to your child or whatever you feel, they're going to download that belief system. So as a parent, the best thing you can be doing is even when they're a baby, do you know, it's like just reinforcement, and then hopefully they will break any mold that might have happened for you where you said you weren't able to regulate your emotions. You can teach them how. You learn how, you teach them how.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, so that's exactly what I've been trying to do, is speak out loud about how I'm feeling or how they might be feeling. So it's like, are you feeling angry? Yes. Are you feeling sad? You know, we've been doing that ever since they were babies. So, but that's thanks to my wife and her contribution. So, yeah.
Yeah. I actually have a great example, if I can share that with you.
Of course,
just yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, this is, as I said, I've got a 11-year-old boy. He's 12 in September. Now he's extremely competent. He's already come up with two little business ideas. He's a little money. Yeah, he is. And he's already shares in in gold mining companies, and he's got gold and silver purchased, So he's I've managed to switch that on. However, my darling boy is a little bit of a drama queen when it comes to injuries and things like that. So yeah, I babied him a little bit naturally as the first time mother, you tend to do that.
Yeah.
And so he is a bit of a drama queen. And just yesterday I got a call from the school. And it's Thomas has had a little run in and he's got a bit of a punch in the eye, and not a fight. He was just playing a game with a girl of all things, and she's run past and they're playing and she's socked him one by accident. So, and he's up at the office, and knowing Thomas is the drama queen that he is, I'm sort of in that position where I'm caught up. It's do I go and get him from school, or do I get him to wait to see if he gets over it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I sort of say to the school, I said to the school, well, we know he's a bit of a drama queen. Can we just sort of give it 20 minutes and see how he goes, And so I did that, and then 20 minutes later it's it's still sore, Mum, it's still sore. So I think, okay, well, look, I'll go and get him, because I'm in that spot then where if I don't go, I look like the bad parent, So I go and pick him up and bring him home and bring his sister home as well, because we're half an hour drive from the school, so there's no point going back later, 3 hours later. And we get home here literally, and then he's I think it's getting better, Mum, I can play screens now.
Yeah. I remember doing that as... in year seven.
Yeah. But see, the distinction I wanted to make is that I waited till his father got home, and then we had the conversation with him around being the drama queen and choosing that behaviour. And we explained to him that the consequences that has on other people, in his circle. It's I had a very important video I had to record yesterday. I got it done because that's what I do. But however, it still affected my routine because I had to go get him. So we, even though we encourage and we support and my kids to have the confidence, we also still make sure that we're guiding them in the direction they need to go. So they know that that kind of behavior is not going to cut it in the real world. They're not going to be able to say to their boss or, in their business in 10 years' time, I'm going to sore eye. I might have to go home and rest it so I can play games, So it's yeah.
Yeah.
So we still, we encourage, but we still make sure that we guide, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And bring those situations to light and have a discussion around it. I think that's, really important. Cool.
Yeah, it is.
I'd love to have a chat around the coronavirus and your book and what is your take on this situation and how is your book helping people?
Okay. Well, corona is corona. It happened. It's none of us expected it. None of us asked for this, that's for sure. However, it is what it is. And so obviously you've got a choice. You can choose to deal with it and do something to get yourself in a position where you are ready to take on whatever happens to still be coming. Because I don't believe this is over. I believe there's a huge financial crisis coming.
Definitely.
I believe that's the next thing to hit. I don't think people are fully aware yet of what's coming. But I do believe that we are in for quite some dark years. And so you can either sit there and go, woe is me, I lost my job, woe is me, my business isn't going so well, so I shut it down or whatever. Or you can go and take some action and you can do something differently. That's the reason why I've created the book, Lockdown Clean Income, is for those people that are sitting there going, okay, so I've got all this time on my hands, what am I going to do now? It's well, why don't you go and find the way to create your own income stream or your own business? And here's a resource that for someone that's done it 11 times can help you. Ironically, it's funny, the exact system that I've got in the book is the system I'm using to launch the book as well, because it works.
Cool.
So I'm actually using my own system to do it again.
Yeah.
Because starting writing a book is starting something from scratch. Yeah, so I think
can we run over a little bit of the framework around that, just to give an idea, not too much detail. They'll go and read the book if they want the ultimate detail, but just build out a little bit of a framework for people to just get an understanding of what, the approach. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what I did with the book is I went back to the very beginning. Like I went from the view where you've not had a business, you've had no maybe even thoughts about doing it, but now you've decided it's where you want to go. So you've got no idea how to start. You've got no idea what to do. You may not have any money. So I've gone right back to the very beginning. And the very first thing that I ask people to do, and I'm happy to share the first, you know, first chapter, is I want them to find out what it is in their heart and their soul that really sets them on fire. That absolute true passion, that absolute burning desire that's inside of them. Because let's face it, being in business for yourself and starting a business is not easy. That is why 95% of businesses fail in the first 3 years, because it's not a walk in the park. It's not just, you know, oh, I'm going to put some flyers out there, the phone's going to ring, I'm going to get clients and we're going to have a party. Yeah. It's not that simple. So in the first chapter, we really dig deep. We dig deep. We ask the questions that need to be asked about, you know, your passion. What is it that, what is it that gets you out of bed in the morning? What is it that, that, you know, absolutely thrills you? Because that, what you want to be basing a business around. You want to be in love with your business. People say they have to be in love with their client, and yes, you do, but you've got to love what you're doing as well, because there's no point in being in business for yourself when you're going to have to stick in the extra hours. It's not going to be like 9 to 5. It's like you've got to love it. And so we really dig deep in that first chapter to really work out what it is that they love to do, what it is that absolutely just, you know, just blows up their world, basically, inspires, in a good way, of course.
Inspires, yeah, it creates energy, doesn't it? You choose something that you love, it's going to create more energy, and it's, that fuels the extra hours. It's not, you don't even feel like you're working when you love what you're doing. You're, you know?
That's it. And I think this is a great place to start with the book, because it's, especially if they don't have the mindset that I have, and this is pretty much, I think, how I've gotten through to create successful businesses without having the mindset, is because when you're passionate about what you do, you can actually get away with not having the confidence and the self-esteem and the self-worth for a little while.
Yep.
It's not long-term, but you can get away with it for a little while. So you can actually make the moves and take the action you need, because the passion is what drives you. The passion is what pushes you forward. Now, I definitely advocate getting your mindset sorted naturally, because otherwise you're going to end up self-sabotaging like I did, or doing dumb things because of your mindset.
Yeah.
But you can actually push past it to start with, and that's why I've really focused in that first chapter of, like, finding that passion of what it is that really makes you tick. And the feedback we're getting, people's lives are being changed just from that.
Yeah.
Just from that. I had one lady tell me she was up until 10 to 4 in the morning just writing a list of, like, you know, ideas that she'd never even come up with before, do you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just for people, the people who might be feeling a little bit, you know, unconfident or don't believe in themselves, you know, you're saying that you might not have the mindset like you, but just to remind everyone, you've developed your mindset, haven't you? You've developed this through practice and training and getting help around it. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I think probably one of the most beautiful things about my journey is that I've been where they are.
Yeah.
I have been where they are, and I was where they are for such a long time because I didn't know the way forward. I didn't know how to get to where I am now. It took me a long time to work that pathway out, and lots of, like, you know, mistakes and adventures on the way. I call them adventures. Why not?
Yeah,
but sure. See, these days, there's more out there. There's more out there. And it just comes down to that one tiny little step, like, you know, go and get the book. Go and get the book and see what difference it makes for you. That's not hard. No one even needs to know that you've gone and bought that.
I'd love to hear you do an audio book of that book, because I think your energy, like, speaking out the words would be really powerful as well.
Yeah, definitely. It's coming. It's definitely coming. Okay. And you know what? I get complimented on my energy every day. So,
awesome. Cool. So, so when trying to figure out what we're passionate about, so sometimes, what are you passionate about? So many people can't answer that question. So mm-hmm. What is the process to try and figure that out? Check your internet browser history?
yeah. So what I suggest is I suggest doing a little meditation. I actually have a 30-day money and abundance mindset training course as well, which people can actually start for just a dollar at the moment. And we actually do this in the first day of that, so this little exercise. So, and what it is I get them just to go back to their childhood, because believe it or not, there was a time when you believed you were invincible. There was a time. And for most people, it's before three, when they were standing on the roof of their house and they jumped off the roof onto the trampoline or whatever they did, you know, because they could fly. They could fly. And I asked them to remember what it was that they wanted to be when they grew up. Do you remember what you wanted to be when you grew up? Okay.
Yeah, I wanted to be a fighter pilot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because at that stage you believed you could do it, right? You believed that you could be that fighter pilot. There was no doubt in your mind that you couldn't do that, right?
Yeah, definitely. I still believe I could be a fighter pilot, actually, but it's probably too risky for what I've got now, so.
Well, I wanted to be a seahorse, so mine was going to be a little more difficult, really.
Yep.
So I wanted to be a seahorse. So obviously I haven't been able to fulfill my childhood dream, really. It's like, but, you know, it's like, and when you go back there, okay, when you go back to when you were a child and you believed you were invincible, because there really was a time that you felt that, you know. And even if they're silly ideas, write them down. I mean, nobody's going to see this stuff. This is stuff that you can keep, you know, you can burn it afterwards if you want to. It doesn't matter. No one's going to see it. But, you know, this is where you can get into that true passion and that true core of who you are and what it is that you want to be. You know, don't worry about anybody else's opinion, what anyone else might have told you you wanted to be. I mean, geez, I wanted to be a seahorse, for goodness sake. It's like, you know, what is it that you wanted to be and why? Why did you want to be that? Like, what was so great about that? And this is where we need to be playing with things like this. This is the same as NLP. This is going back to before that thought was downloaded. Do you know what I mean? Before that thought was downloaded, before you knew that you weren't good enough.
Yeah, so it's, and why do we want to be that person? Yeah, so that's really important. I think not enough people, they might remember what it was, but why? Because that's what matters. And you might be able to find that fulfillment of that why in other things. Is that right?
That's, well, exactly right. I mean, you know, I could have become a marine biologist, I suppose, you know, mine. But, I think it is. It goes back because, I mean, at the end of the day, I think back then for me, like, it was all about giving to others, you know, and, like, just – being, I guess, in the way the seahorse is kind of like a mystical thing. Do you know what I mean? Like the fluffy unicorn kind of thing. It just spreads the love. It gives the love. And I'm kind of doing that now.
Yeah.
You know, I'm kind of doing it.
I can see that.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe that is my absolute core passion, to help others to be there and just inspire and motivate and just help them out, because I know what it's like to be where they are. I get it, you know? I really do. So that's what I advise. I advise, go back to that space, go back to that place. And remember, this is stuff you can do that nobody has to know you're doing it. That's the beauty. No one, you don't have to tell anybody. You could just go and do this for yourself and nobody would need to know. And how would your life change if you did? Just that little step.
Yep. So what do you see as the biggest challenges to someone, you know, starting their own thing, going out, changing direction, pivoting, and all these words being thrown around at the moment? What are the biggest challenges that you see people having, and maybe people that are giving you feedback from your book and saying, you know, I was really struggling with this and, you know, now I'm not.
The first thing that came to mind when you said that is in the words of Tony Robbins, and that is fear.
Yeah.
Fear is what's stopping everybody. It's absolutely what controls most of us. And there's different kinds of fear out there. This, the fear of not believing in yourself, actually comes from a belief that you don't trust yourself more than fear. It's the fact that you don't trust. Okay, and so the biggest things I see with people who want to go into business for themselves but just haven't made the move is that absolute paralyzing fear of what other people think. That's a massive, massive one. They're worried about what the mother-in-law will think. They worry about, you know, what their friends will think. They worry about what will happen if they fail. That's the next one. What will happen if they fail? If they take the leap and they fail. There's a few people out there that are worried about the success if they actually make it. What will their friends say? What will their, you know, their people say if they actually do make it? Will they want to have anything to do with them anymore, kind of fears, you know?
Yeah.
But what it all comes down to that fear of not being good enough or not being worthy. Like every client that we have, Tall Poppies Rising, it's all about, oh, but I'm not good enough, or a version of that. I'm not good enough. I'm not wanted. I'm too fat, too skinny, too ugly, too, you know, whatever it happens to be. It's all a version of the I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
And that is the number one thing that stops people. I'm not good enough, and if I'm not good enough, I won't be loved. And that's Tony Robbins right there, that little bit there.
Yep.
So.
But if you don't try, you'll never find out if it worked or not. And if it doesn't matter if it doesn't work, which it doesn't, give it a go.
Do you think I haven't failed?
Yeah. And the, you know, as long as if you gave it a go and it doesn't work, then, you know, learn from that. Shift, change, try again. Like we've heard it before, but it's so true. Like if something's not working, why isn't it working? Learn from it, adapt, change, and do it again.
It doesn't mean that you're not good enough, okay? And exactly what you said, someone said to me once, they said, if something doesn't work, do something different. And if that doesn't work, then do something different. Just document it down, what happened, what the result was, try another way, do another way. Because eventually you're going to find the way.
Yeah, and that's business anyway. Like business is built of processes. If you think of a house and bricks, business is built on processes. So a process is something that's been tried, tested, and if it doesn't work, you try it a different way, and if it works, then great, mm-hmm. that's a process, mm-hmm. you know? And mm-hmm. so you can tick mm-hmm. that box off and that brick's been laid. And then you go and build another brick, you know?
Exactly. And sometimes you may, you know, put the brick squiff and it might be too late to fix it. So you've got to chip it away and you've got to do something different. Exactly.
Recovery.
It's when, and this is probably one of the most prominent mistakes that people make. It's when they, you know, put the brick the wrong way and they think, oh, well, that's it. I might as well just quit then.
Hmm.
And they don't go and do what they need to do to improve and make the change and keep going. I mean, that's the biggest thing. There's so many people out there that even do give it a go and at the first hurdle, they quit.
Yeah, that's massive in sales. So people who are in sales and they're told, just go out there, say this, say that, and then they say that line and then the first person they get is just the wrong person, just someone that doesn't, and they go, no, and they're like... My heart.
Yeah, absolutely. Because A, they take it on personally. B, they don't believe they're good enough to be able to sell to this person. And C, you're right. They just, you know, instantly go, you know, they may as well have just like, you know, absolutely stabbed me half a dozen times.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to get the nose.
Yeah, it's not you, it's them.
Yeah.
Keep trying.
Absolutely.
Or the process.
But it's like instead of going, somebody said no, why don't they just think, okay, so what could I do differently?
Mm.
Where else could I, well, what else could I have done? What difference could I have made? What skills can I learn? I think this is also something that is really important, even about all of the mindset and stuff like this, Greg, is how I like to reframe it for people, is that getting your mindset sorted is just a skill set. That's all it is. It's no different. If you wanted to go and learn to be a chef, you'd go to cooking school, right?
Yep.
If you wanted to learn to play an instrument, you'd go to a person that teaches you how to play instruments.
Music tutor.
I can't think what they – do you know what I mean? So yeah. It's no different. Like, it's just a skill set. So the reason, you know, the shame behind it is unnecessary. It's – yeah, if you wanted to learn photography, you'd go and learn to a photography school. Do you know? And that's what I'm saying. It's just a skill set. It's no different. It's like you can learn. You can learn to be confident. You can learn to be certain. You can learn to believe in yourself. It's just taking the action.
Yep.
Yeah.
Awesome. Hey, I've had such a great time today. I think we're going to talk again, but thank you so much for your time. Is there any other any other points you want to leave on and any other message that you want to get across before we wrap it up today?
What I'd like to say is I'd just like to say to all those people out there whose lives have changed in the last couple of months, okay, we're coming into a period that we've never experienced in our lives before. You think it's over with COVID? It's not. It's just started, okay? Let's just be honest and say those people that are looking for work, for example, okay, like there's so many people unemployed now and there's going to be so much more competition out there for the jobs that are left. So do whatever it takes to get yourself ready, okay? Do whatever it takes to get yourself ready. You're going to have to be the absolute best version of you to go out there and get back what you may have lost. It's not going to be just the walk in the park like some of you expect. It's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. But the thing is, you can do it. You can absolutely do it. You can just go and get the skills you need. Everything's available to you these days. Go and do it. Go and work on your mindset if that's what you need. Go and upskill. Go and get a coach. Go and do whatever it takes to get to the point where you know you're number one, because this is going to be a case where the fittest survive.
Invest in you.
Or you can sit on the couch and watch Netflix. That's your choice.
Yeah. Take your pick. Yeah.
That's it. That's exactly right. It's totally up to you what you choose to do. No one can make you do what you don't want to do. But look at the big picture and have a look at what's really happening and know that now is the time. When is now the time to make sure you are number one?
Yeah. And just a big note on that as well, when you're, you know, focusing on a project or a goal or a vision, you're no longer fearing the unknown. You're taking control of the situation and you are taking the actions and almost being distracted in a really positive way from the crap, you know?
Yes.
So
yeah,
definitely agree with that. Great message.
Absolutely. Like stay in your, get in your lane, put your blinkers on, get in your lane, stop listening to all the crap on the outside, focus on what it is that you want and just go. Just start swimming.
Yeah. Awesome.
Because that's what's going to have to happen. So yeah. In the words of Nemo, wasn't that?
Yeah.
Just keep swimming.
Awesome. Thanks for your energy. Yeah. Thanks for your time and enthusiasm. And thanks for your inspiration and your book and everything else that you're doing.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a real pleasure.